It's been an interesting year, and I'm getting ready for another one, I guess. I'm really glad to have the family that I have here, and I was reading my Bible this morning. I had no idea what I was going to talk about tonight, and I just read some things that made me think about the brethren. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. As Brother Adam mentioned, we should say a prayer tonight. Dear Lord God, thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've shown to all of us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for building this church, not just Grace and Truth Church, Lord God, but your entire body of believers, Lord. I thank you that you've taken us who were sinners lost and on our way to hell, Lord, and you've made us part of your family, Lord. And it's just the truth of what you have, Lord, and your gospel for us. It's just more wonderful than anything else we could possibly imagine. I thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters that are here tonight. I pray that every sermon that is preached, Lord, like the last two, I pray, Lord, that they would be a blessing to thy people. I pray, Lord, that you would get the glory in everything that's said, Lord God, and I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be here in the midst, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, like I said, I was reading some things this morning and thinking about the brethren, and so my little sermonette is called Remember the Brethren, and let's turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. This is going to be really simple. Amen. Usually when I'm up here, I'm doing some kind of complicated teaching or whatever, and this is really not my style today, but it's what the Lord gave to me. Colossians chapter 4. And actually, I don't even think I'm going to start here yet. You know, I was at my grandmother's, my uncle's house on Christmas Eve. And we have a big family, kind of, on both sides of the family. And most of them are lost. They're mostly strict Roman Catholics. And you know, I feel toward them the way that Paul felt, I think, when he was talking about the other Israelites and he said, my kinsmen according to the flesh. And that's really what my earthly family is. You know, I care about them. I want them to be saved. And when I feel that I have an opportunity to talk to them about the gospel, I take it. And results vary. some people are open to it and some people are just not. But the family that I have here, especially in this church, I'm so thankful to have the family that I have. And I was reading today in 1 Thessalonians, I was reading in Colossians and Philippians, and there were a lot of neat things that I came across, but What kind of stuck with me was that I kept reading this word, remember. And three things kind of popped out at me that we should remember the brethren for. Okay? This is not really going to flow together all that well. I'm just going to share what I discovered. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 18, it's right at the end of the book, Paul says in the last verse, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Remember my bonds. And I'm going to look at three things that we should remember the brethren for. And he says, remember my bonds. None of these three things are, you know, remember my faults, remember my sins, remember the ways that I've wronged you. Remember the ways that I've messed things up in the past. And I think a lot of times when we remember certain brethren, maybe a lot of brethren, maybe a few, is the first thing that come to mind is, well, they did something bad. Well, you know, I like them, but there's that thing, you know, that I'll always remember. And it's kind of a bad way to remember our brethren. But here's three things that we can remember. Paul said, remember my bonds. And what are bonds? Some things come to mind, like family bonding, that kind of thing. Or even bad things like bondage. Really, bonds are things that bind. And really, as Christians and as people in general, we have two things that we can really be bound to. You could be bound to the Lord, and you can be like Paul, and he would talk about his bonds to the Lord. He would talk about himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he's bound to Christ. And let me tell you, Christ is a good master. He's a really good master. He's the best. And if you're not bound to Christ, you could be bound to sin, bound to the world. Remember in Exodus, the children of Israel were in hard bondage. And they wanted out. And they were suffering. They were groaning. And the Lord delivered them from bondage. And when they came out of Egypt, he didn't say, well, you guys are free now. Surprise, he put them in bondage again. He bound them to himself. He said, you'll be my people, and I will be your God. And he didn't just free them from everything. He bound them to himself, which really is the greatest freedom that there is. Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So what bonds is Paul talking about here? Well, I have a feeling that he's talking about being bound in a physical sense. He was jailed. I know that. But really, as we consider the brethren and remember the brethren, remember their bonds, it doesn't matter which one it is. You know, we can remember the bonds of a Christian who is in prison for the Lord's sake. Maybe it hasn't happened all too much in our country, yet. It will, very shortly. It'll happen. It happens already around the world, and we can remember those bonds of our brethren around the world. We can also remember the bonds, the bonds of Christians to the Lord. And we can strengthen those bonds. We can strengthen their bonds to one another with fellowship. We can also consider if they're in bondage to sin. And again, like I said, he doesn't say, remember my sins. Remember my faults. Remember all the bad things that I've done. Yeah, you can remember those things. But instead of saying, well, so-and-so, they, you know, I just don't agree with them on that point. Or so-and-so, he, remember when he did that? Or she said this about someone? Remember all those things? That's not what we're to remember. But think, you know, if they're in bondage to that thing or that sin or whatever it might be, wouldn't it be nice if you could help them out of it? I mean, remember Abram when Lot was in a place where he shouldn't have been. He got carried away captive. You know, Abram didn't say, well, Lot, you dummy, you know, go hanging around in Sodom. Of course that's going to happen to you. Oh, Lot, you know, he deserted me. He went, look where he went to Sodom, and he deserves what he had coming to him. Or just, you know, Lot, I'm done with you. But he remembered Lot's bonds. And he went in and he rescued him. And something we need to do when we consider the faults or the sins or whatever the things are that tie us down, the weights that so the weights and the sins, I mean, those are bonds, and we need to remember the bonds of our brethren and help them out of them, and not just say, well, he's a failure, or he's just a rotten person. This is our family. One thing that we have to remember about the brethren is that we're not just kinsmen according to the flesh, but these are people that you're going to spend eternity with. Not only that, these are people that aren't just getting a ticket to heaven. These are people that love your Savior. People that your Savior loves. And that's two great reasons to love the brethren, to try and patch things up that have been broken up. So that's one thing. Remember their bonds, not their faults. Another thing, it's right on the next page probably, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 2. He says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." He says three things: your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. These all kind of go together. If you can figure out that work is labor, then you can figure out that patience has something to do with those also. And our work is to be patient. And also the second part of that kind of all goes together too. See, the work, it's work of faith. You're trusting the Lord that he's going to do the things that he said he'd do and that he'd be with you to the end. Labor of love. You're caring, you're loving the Lord and keeping his commandments, and also you're caring for the people that you're trying to rescue. Rescue the perishing. People are dying without Christ. And patience of hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not hope like the world has. The world, when it says, "We hope," they're talking about something they're not expecting. You know, we hope it happens. We hope we don't get snow on Christmas or whatever the thing is. Hey, this time it actually happened. But, you know, nobody expects that. But hope in the Scriptures, it's something that you can rely on. Hope is something that you have faith in that's unseen, that's ahead, and you're expecting it. You're watching for it. You're waiting for it. That's hope. But remembering, without ceasing, your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. This is something else we can remember our brethren for, is the work that they do. Okay? When you remember the brethren, like I said before, we don't want to remember their faults. We can remember their bonds and try and help them out of those bonds. But at the same time, if when you remember a brother, do you remember the things that he did, maybe not so good? You know, we had this disagreement back then, and I just don't see things the way he does. He must not be as spiritual as I am, after all. What about when he was teaching that Bible study, and you learned something from it? Remember his work. Okay, how about when he got caught doing this? And, well, he's such a terrible person. I'd never do anything that terrible. You know, and that's the thing that sticks with me all this time. Or do you remember the time that he went out preaching with you? And maybe someone got saved. Or maybe someone didn't get saved. It doesn't matter. That's up to the Lord. But what do you remember? Do you remember their work of faith and their labor and love? Or what about that guy, he preaches all the time on tithing. They're always saying, "Give us your money, give us your money." You know, I can't stand the way he does that. But do you consider that he gives 90% of that money to missions to get the gospel out? What do you remember? Do you remember the work of faith and the labor of love? When you think about the brethren and you pray for them, what's the first thing that comes to mind? And actually, this It's kind of close to another topic I just thought I'd mention. I didn't really organize a whole lot here, but it made me think of something. You know, we pray for the brethren. We consider their, I don't want to say we consider their faults, but you consider their bonds. Okay? And one thing that we like to do, we pray for them. Unfortunately, it sometimes gets us into another situation where we say, oh, so-and-so is into this, and they're into that, and oh, man, they're all messed up, and we need to start a prayer list and put all these people on it, you know, and, you know, by the way, so-and-so is doing this. Let's pray for them. And a lot of times what starts as a prayer list, it turns out to be tail-bearing, which the Scripture has some things to say about. And, you know, I'm not pointing the finger at anyone in particular. I'm just saying this definitely happens. And it's something that we need to be aware of. And there's things, you know, little things that creep their way in there like that, even if we don't intend them. But, I mean, those things can really cause some damage. I was just talking with someone today, and reminded of a situation that really hurt someone, where not from here, but she doesn't want to leave the Catholic Church, and she tried going to some evangelical Christian churches, and she said one of the things that they did to her was they put her on a prayer list, and soon everyone there knew all about all her sins. And she doesn't want to go back. And like I said, the Scripture has some things to say about that. So I'm just going to go to a few verses in Proverbs. First one, Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8. It says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And you may have experienced this before. I have. And as you've just heard, that young lady experienced it also. And those things hurt. Proverbs 20. Verse 19, this is our warning. Maybe you're not doing it, maybe someone else is. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. He's not just saying it's bad, he's saying don't do it. You have your orders, commands from the Lord. Chapter 11, same book. In verse 13, it says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. If someone is doing something so bad, or someone has this problem, you know who you can tell about it? You tell the Lord. And if he wants to reveal it, he will. And one more, chapter 26. In verse 20, it says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. How can you help the situation? Well, one way you can help is not to spread it around and inflame the thing. Just something to keep in mind. So what do you remember when you remember the brethren? Here's one more thing. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm almost done. I told you it was going to be short. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Okay? And there's quite a lot in these verses, actually. Remember them which have the rule over you. And folks, pray for your pastor. This is not talking about have the rule over you like Gentiles exercise lordship. It's talking about those who feed the flock. It's not talking about someone who rules with an iron rod. That's not what your pastor is. He doesn't set the rules. He gets his rules from the book. Commander-in-chief is Jesus Christ. He's the master. You're all brethren. But consider, remember them which have the rule over you. This man needs prayer, Brother Mike, Brother Ed, and if I may say so, there are other pastors here that teach the word of God and feed the flock. And you want to remember them, pray for them, help them. But also it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. There's something to remember. You can remember them, what? That they spoke the word of God. Why? Because they believe it. And it's effectually worked in them because they've believed it. And because of that, you can consider the rest of this also. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. See, one thing that you can always remember about the brother, you can remember, yeah, the here and now. You can remember their bonds, and you can pray for them and help them. And you can remember their work of faith and labor of love. And you can help them, you can pray for them there. And another thing you can remember about them is that they're your family that you're going to spend eternity with because you believe the word and they believe the word and that's why they're speaking it. And what's the end of our conversation? Well, he says in the next verse, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is not just for yesterday and today. He's also forever. And it says, I'm just going to back up and read a verse real quick in Philippians 1. In Philippians 1:27, it says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Okay, that's what our conversation is. It's the gospel of Christ. And like I mentioned here not too long ago, the gospel is not just all about here and now. It's an everlasting gospel. And this conversation that we have, we got to remember, this thing is a gospel because it's good news and there's a happy ending. Amen. Okay? That's another thing you can remember. You remember bonds. Remember the work and the labor of love. Remember that our conversation is everlasting. We're not just here to get along and try and get through life together, but we're here and we're going to be together forever. Now, this is what a real family is. That's the kind of family you get when God's the Father.
Amen.
Amen. So that's all I got for today.